Let's start off here by going to 1 John 1:6. And I have the page numbers on all these here, so if you guys look up on the screen there, it's page 245. And I'll go ahead and read this here. It's 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, page 245. Starting in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him, and in darkness are walking, we are dealing falsely and not doing the truth. Whereas, if in the light we are walking as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Yahushua, his son, is cleansing us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say sin, have we none? We are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we are confessing our sins, faithful is he and righteous, then he should forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, false are we making him, and his word is not in us. Okay, and this is important to know when we talk about this. So this is kind of a setting the baseline here for what we're going to go over today. It's fellowship and sin, and how we deal with both, and how we are to come before. And we're going to do a little bit of a history teaching in here. And so I just named this one here, but still his hand outstretched. Okay, and so this is a fun teaching tonight. It's the correction of Yahweh, because everybody loves getting reproof, right? They're like, oh, what? I don't know. And it's a fact. But when there's sin, what takes place is the correction. And so Yahweh is constantly correcting us through his written word, through prophets, through telling people, and we're going to see that through the history. It's the correction of Yahweh. How do we deal with the correction? When the correction comes, how are we responding to it? And so we're going to see wrong response to it in history through the Bible here tonight. And this one here, we're going to look at a couple things. Strains and refrains. Okay? Retribution of self-glorifying. In other words, we elevate ourselves to the point where we don't really need Yahweh. Everything's fine, and as soon as we get ourselves together, we now are glorifying ourselves. And then restoration, which is basically what happens through this point. And so I'm going to kind of walk you through this. The book of Isaiah, as we go through this tonight, you're going to see that throughout the book, it's basically conviction and comfort, judgment and salvation. Very repetitive that we see throughout the Old Testament, where the people they fall down on their knees, they worship Yahweh, they come back to Yahweh, they turn, and then they go back. And it's just over and over and over again. And we see this. And there's nothing different even for today's standard, where people are still having the same issues and the same problems. Yahweh warned to turn from wickedness, and they ignored it. And this is where we're going to go in the book of Isaiah. Prophecy of Isaiah, and this isn't a direct quote, but Yahweh has punished you, and he isn't finished yet. So I'd be like in the middle of spanking a child. You're like going, okay, there's the first 10. You ready for the next 15? And the kid's like, this is just cruel and unusual punishment. What the heck is that? But yet this is what Isaiah is saying. The deal is you could have stopped the spankings after 10. Okay, but they didn't, and that's where we're going to see. And so Isaiah, and you think about that, I always think about that, you know, you always hear somebody say, hey, don't shoot the messenger. You know, poor Isaiah, Jeremiah is like going, yeah, here you come in here, and you're like going, dude, come on, man. Any good words? Well, no good deeds. Yeah. Good deeds bring good words. And so this is where we look at that. So Yahweh told him that. He goes, he's not done punishing you yet. What you've seen is just the beginning. Yahweh has more resources for confronting us than we do of tricks and trades and methods to avoid him. Okay? And so we think that we can avoid him for a while, that we can bypass, it'll be fine, we'll get to it, you know, eventually, yeah. And Yahweh's like going, yeah, you're not going to run. You're not going to get away. Okay? There's no place on this earth that you can hide. I know every spot from inch to inch. Okay? Let's flip over here to Isaiah here, and if you have a ribbon there, you can probably put it there, because we're going to come back to it a couple times.
I see.
And we're on page 686. Okay, which is chapter 9, verse 8. 656 on the left side. And while everybody's flipping to it, okay, I'm going to read the preface to 8. And this is one of the nice things about Rotherham is it has great notes inside of it as well. And it says, the subject of Israel's sin And Yahweh's conquest, his pleasure, resumed from chapter 5, verse 25. The same general strain and same refrains. Strains and refrains. Okay, this is where I did what I was mentioning about that. That's where that came from. That wasn't my doing. I know it looked cool, but it was kind of here. All right. Anyways, starting in verse 8, and I'll have some kids here read with me here, but I'm going to read the first portion of this. A word hath my Lord Adonai sent unto Jacob, and it shall all right alight on Israel, and the people shall all of them know it. Ephraim and the dweller of Samaria, who in pride and insolence of heart are saying, bricks have fallen down, but with hewn stones we will build. Sycamores have felled, but with cedars we shall replace them. Therefore will Yahweh strengthen the adversaries of Rezin against him, and his enemies will be aroused. Syrians before and Philistines behind, thus have they devoured Israel with open mouth. Now what we're seeing here is it was telling them, and the people were just like going, you know, it'd be like somebody coming to you today, Yahweh's going to take away your job. I go on unemployment, I don't care. This is the same mentality. I'm going to knock down what you have to get your attention. So, I'll rebuild it. I've got a lot of bricks here. I can rebuild it all. This is their attitude. Basically, they're thumbing their nose at Yahweh, saying that it doesn't make a difference what's happened. And so Yahweh tells them, hey, your enemies are surrounding you, and you are basically now, everything's going to be, you're going to be devoured. Okay, how about, and I'm going to finish here on 12, with open mouth, part B of 12. For all this hath his anger not turned back, but still his hand outstretched. Okay, who would read 13 through 15 for me? One of the children? Okay, go ahead. Nice and loud.
Let the people have not turned unto him that
smote him.
And Yahweh of hosts have they not slept. Therefore hath Yahweh cut off from Israel head and tail, palm, top, and rest in one day. The elder and favorite, he is the
head.
He is the tail.
He is the head, and the prophet teaching falsehood, he is the tail. How about 16?
And they who should have led the people forward have been causing them to stray, and they who are led of them are destroyed.
Destroyed, swallowed up, that's it. And so just on that here, as we look at that, who are we referring to here? Okay, we're referring to the elders and the prophet, okay, that are doing this, that are leading astray. Okay, this is from the top. These are from the people at the top here that we're looking at. Somebody here for me, and they are leading them. And they who are led of them, the rest of the group, are destroyed or swallowed up. 17 and 18. Who would like to read that for me? Go ahead. Either one of you guys.
For this cause, over their choice, young men will my Lord not rejoice. And on their fatherless and their widows will he not have compassion. For every one of them is profane and evildoer. And every mouth is speaking baseness. For all this hath his anger not turned back, but still his hand outstretched. For lawlessness hath consumed like fire, briars and thorns doth it devour. Yea, it hath kindled up upon the thickets of the forest, and they have rolled up as a column of smoke.
Thank you. And Melania, you can read 19 through 20 if you would, honey. Just read 19 through 21.
Through the wall of Yahweh of hosts is the land consumed, and the people have come to be as fuel for fire. A man unto his own brother sheweth not pity, and he hath slain on the right, and yet his is hungry. And hath eaten on the left. Ye are they not satisfied? Yet one, the flesh of his own arm, will they eat.
Manasseh,
Ephraim, and
Ephraim,
Manasseh, they together against Judah. For all this hath his anger not turned back, but still his hand outstretched.
That's it. So as we look at that, okay, four times, because I'm gonna read here. We're just gonna kind of jump ahead just a hair. I'm gonna read the first four verses of chapter 10. Alas for them who ordain iniquitous decrees, and busy writers who make business of writing mischief, turning aside from judgment. And I'm gonna hold on to this, but down look at the bottom part of verse 4. For all this hath the anger not turned back, but still his hand outstretched. Four times within that short period, Yahweh says the exact same thing. My hand's outstretched, meaning that I'm ready to smack you down for not doing the things, for all these reasons why. And we're going to take a look at each one of them. Isaiah 1 through 5 describes the sin of the judgment. Okay, this is chapters 1 through 5 we're looking at. So the buildup coming into chapter 9 and chapter 10. 1 through 5 describes the sin and the judgment. 6 through 11 is Yahweh's grace over our failures. Okay, and so we see this a lot. Let's just do that, then I'll go ahead and read this here. I thought it was coming up on here. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Alas for them who ordain iniquitous decrees, and busy writers who make a business of writing mischief, turning aside from judgment the poor, and robbing of justice the oppressed of my people, so that widows become their spoil, and of their fatherless they make prey. What then will they do for the day? What then will ye do for the day of visitations, and the devastation which from afar shall come? Unto whom will ye flee for help? And where will ye leave your glory? Without me one hath bowed under a prisoner. Yea, under the slain do they fall. For all this hath the anger not turned back, but still the hand outstretched. Okay? And so a couple things as we go through this, because this is a correction of Yahweh to his people and to the country. And he's telling them over and over again that this is what you've done, and because of this, and because of this. And he labels them out. And so I hear all the time when I listen to teachings and stuff, well, God loves me just the way I am. And I'm like going, really? Really? Well, did he say that to BTK? He loved BTK for everything about him. I made him this way. This guy's this exact way. Absolutely not. That's wrong. Yahweh does never makes peace with our evil. So somebody says, Yahweh loves me just the way I am. He loves you. He hates the evil that's inside of you. Okay? And if you are bringing to maturity and your fruit is that evil, Yahweh does not feel that way about you. Okay? You can get into the graces, but that is not correct. Yahweh does not make peace with our evil. The wrath is not vindictive. Yahweh doesn't go around. I know a lot of times people will think that Yahweh, you know, smiting and smoting and all these other things that you hear, you're like, what exactly is that? It's not because he's just having fun and it's for joy. It's like a doctor, the way I look at it, I thought was a pretty good example. A doctor cutting away the cancer that's killing a person.
Yeah.
It's intrusive. Nobody wants to go through it. But if it's not taken care of, it will overtake and kill you. Okay? The doctor cares for the person, but the cancer that's growing inside of them is going to destroy them. And that's what we're referring to. That's where Yahweh will not make peace with the cancer.
That's a real good analogy.
It is. And that's where I look at it. I'm like going, so that way we know Yahweh wants us to be there. It says, you know, in the New Testament, I would want all to be saved. We want all to be saved. And well, what does that tell us for mankind? He created us to worship him and to be part of him. So at the same point, when a person becomes evil and they're causing evil to other people, it's a major issue. Four areas of the wrath we're going to look at. The first one is the pride and insolence of the heart. Okay, that is in 9b, okay? That's what we're looking at. Yahweh's judgment will destroy their land instead of listening. Okay, and so as we go through here, we're going to look at the four different things that he tells them. So Yahweh clumps this into four categories, and I'm going to go over those. Who cares if Yahweh judges us? Whatever's torn down, we'll rebuild it. If Yahweh knocks something down, we'll rebuild it. It always made me laugh because as I was preparing this, I was thinking about when I was a kid, I had a black lab and I'd take it running with me. And we'd go out and there are a lot of places we'd be, it was off the dirt, and with a lot of horses, you know, people would have horseback rides and whatnot, and they'd go through there. And the dog would, run up on a fresh horse pie and just start eating. And I'm just like going, sorry, here we are at fellowship. And I'd be smacking, get the heck out. And the dog knew it wasn't supposed to be doing it, so it as fast as it could possibly do it, it would mow down as much as it could. And I just repulsed. I'm like, get out of there. What the heck is wrong with you? And I think to myself, gee, and when it comes to sin and evil things, is that what Yahweh looks at me like? What are you doing? And yet we consume as fast as we can. You know, which also makes me think to myself, you know, you see all these commercials about dog food, about savory beef and chicken. I'm like going, make it butt flavored or poop flavored. Dogs don't care. You know, they'll eat it. But side points. Sorry about that. But that's how I think about with Yahweh, with my sin. I look at it a little bit longer, a little bit more. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. I'm almost done. Look, as soon as I'm done with this pile, I'll quit. Okay, and that's where Yahweh looks at it and like going, no, you can't do that. But that's what they're doing. This is them thumbing their face, thumbing their nose back at Yahweh, saying, tear it down, we'll rebuild it. We don't really care. Non-repentance, even after the calamities, they still had optimism. So even though Yahweh had smote them and smited them, they still didn't care. Didn't get their attention. And that's where Isaiah told them, guess what? It's not over with, okay? It's not over. You're going to get more. Psalms, you can keep a finger here because we are going to kind of come back to reference this a few times. Flip over to Psalms 59. It's going to be page 558. And who hasn't read yet? Would you like to read?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how about 12 and 13? It won't be on the screen. You'll have to read it out of the Bible. I had to order new software. My software didn't load correct, so... 12 and 13 of 59.
Speak up loud.
The sin of their mouth, the word of their lips. Let them then be captured in their pride, both for the oath and for the deception they record. Bring to a full end in wrath, bring to a full end, that they be no more. That men may know that God is ruling in Jacob unto the ends of the earth.
That's exactly it. Okay, be captured in their own pride. Okay, this is it. The sins of their mouth. The sins of their mouth. The pride. The grandeur of their lips, if you will. Okay, was one of the things. And that's where they're like going, your punishment's not going to hurt us. We don't care. Well, you know, it will. It absolutely will. The loftiness of man layeth him low. But one with a lowly spirit shall attain unto honor. That's Proverbs 29:23. I put some of them on here just because, for sake of time here. Number 2 point, if you want to flip back over, okay, to Isaiah 9. Refusal to return, okay? And that comes from the verses 13 through 17. This is the refusal to turn. This is the recall to repentance, okay? You're in sin. Here's your chance. You've already been smacked once. Turn and change. Turn and change, okay? And they didn't. And what are we talking about? They're talking about coming from the top down in this instance. Elders and prophets. The elders and prophets, you turn. You are being called to turn and to change and to teach the people and lead the people correctly with what I tell you to do. Big mistake to turn away from Yahweh instead of turning to inquiring of Him. And so what they do is they refuse Isaiah's words of Yahweh and go to the elders and go to the prophets that they had, which were not the prophets of Yahweh. They were giving false words. What happens when this takes place? The leaders are probably going to be some of the last people to pay the price. Okay, they will pay the price. But the people below them, the people that they're watching over, okay, leaders are cut off. Younger generations are going to pay the price. And it might be 2, 3, it can be however many, until they turn, until things change. And what happens is people get moved. You become fatherless. You lose your home. You lose all your possessions. Sold into slavery. Flip over to 2 Corinthians. Page 185 in the New Testament. Second Corinthians chapter 7, page 185, 9 through 10. And I will read this, okay? Now, this is the call. Remember, the first one there was the vanity, if you will. The second one is the call to return and not returning, not repenting. In verse 9 of chapter 7, 9 through 10. Now I am rejoicing, not that ye have grieved, but you were grieved unto repentance. For you were grieved according to Yahweh, in order that in nothing should ye receive damage from us. For grief according to Yahweh worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be regretted. Although the grieving of the world worketh death. Okay, and so this is Yahweh. This is telling, hey, sometimes it has to happen this way, that you have to have a couple hard knocks in life. You're like, holy cow. You know, it's like the kid learning to spend their money and they mess up. And you're like going, yeah, and it's painful at the time, but it's a lesson you learn. And it's all the way through. And so that grieving is for to make them bring about the repentance and to make you turn. And it wasn't doing it because they didn't think they needed to. It didn't make a difference. The times of ignorance, therefore, overlooking Yahweh as things now... I'm sorry. The time of ignorance, therefore, overlooking Yahweh as things now are charging all men everywhere to repent. Okay? Everywhere. So people are saying that I don't have sin. Well, that's why we started off. Everybody has it. Everybody has to deal with it. And everybody has to go through it. And we have to repent and we have to seek the counsel and come back. And come back away justified. That Yahweh is just to forgive us. But this is where it says everybody to repent. Number three. Okay, of Isaiah 9 is the prevailing lawlessness. Okay, and you see that it comes after each time that you see one of those where it ends with the outstretched arm. Okay, that's where, and then the next one starts. And so Yahweh breaks it into four categories, saying this, and I'm still angered, my arm is outstretched, and then this, and then I'm still angered, my arm is outstretched. And so every time you see one of these, number three, this is in verse 18. Okay, for lawlessness hath consumed like fire. Okay, and so this is the next one he's talking about, the prevailing lawlessness. And so we see that prevailing lawlessness, and its lawlessness burns as a fire. And so there's a couple interesting things of this, because you think of that, and it's a great analogy, burn with fire, not very comforting. Okay, that it's going to burn with fire, raging wildfire, unstoppable, devouring everything. Okay, and the people shall be the fuel of the fire. Well, that's kind of, you don't think about that as a person. Hey, throw another person on the fire, you know, when it's getting cold in here. But this is it. Judgment is fueled, excuse me, by the people in two different areas. Okay? The first one is the wickedness that they are doing. The wickedness supplies to the fire, but what's good about that is if they stop the wickedness, they can stop the fire. And I always think about that in the Desert War, when we were over there for Desert Shield, Desert Storm. They did the scorched earth.
Saddam Hussein.
Thank you, Saddam Hussein did the scorched earth policy, and he blew up all the oil wells. And crude oil, it's a mixture of oil and gas. It's very syrupy, very thick, but it burns like napalm. I mean, it's just extremely hot. And they bring in the group from Texas over there, and I'm thinking to myself, how do you put that out? Because it's not going to go out for a long time until that oil, it's shooting out a geyser. You know, some of them were 8-10 inches in diameter, and at the pressure behind it, it's shooting 50 to 100 feet up in the air. And it's just a huge fireball. You can't even get anything near it. And they brought in this team from Texas. And how did they do it? They blew it up. They put dynamite on a crane. And they bring the dynamite right over the top of it, and it blows up. And when it blows up, it takes away one of the essential elements of fire, which is oxygen. It robs the oxygen for a split second, and the fire goes out. I'm like, well, who would have thought that an explosion could fix the explosion? Okay? And I think to myself in the same way with Yahweh, he's like going, hey, sometimes to get the correction, it's going to take a scrape and it's going to take a bruise. It doesn't have to be that way, but it's better to have those scrapes and that bruise and to remove the cancer than the cancer to remove us and take us out. That's the first one. The second one is they are burned up and destroyed by the fire because they are the evil and they will not do it. And so they become the fire. They are part of the fire.
You got to fight fire with fire.
That's exactly right. Sometimes you do. And so it was kind of interesting. They said it was going to take over 5 years to put all those oil wells out. I think it took 3.5 months. And these guys just went from one to one. And every time they do it, I'd be like, well, you got to watch this. This is the coolest thing in the world. And there were a couple times where it lit back up because they had to wait. They had to wait for about 5 to 10 minutes, okay, for the oil that was coming out of there to help cool those pipes down, because any little bit of heat would have immediately blown it back up. And so they'd wait. And then after that, these guys would come inside and they'd put all the caps and stuff and start capping it. And I was just like going, golly, that is so impressive. It's impressive. But the ingredients were that you have to have fuel, you have to have what? Air?
And spark.
And spark for the fire. And so you remove one of those, and it can't flourish. Okay? And it's the same thing with us. Without Yahweh, we can't flourish as well. So Proverbs 12, let's flip over to it.
6:17.
Thank you. 6:17.
In the old?
In the old, that's right. In the old. And everybody already there? One of you kids want to read?
Esther has.
Okay, Esther, why don't you go ahead? Verse 1 of chapter 12.
Pronounce the words when you
speak. Yeah. Okay, right here. Correct.
She knows more than you think.
He.
Go, Esther.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We that loveth corrections loveth no
knowledge,
but he that maketh reproof is
brutish.
We're going to hold for a second there, okay? This is a great one. He that loveth correction loveth knowledge. Nobody wants the correction. Nobody wants the told, hey, dummy, you did that wrong. Okay? Dang it. You know, but the thing is, we learn, I did it wrong, how do I do it right? How do I do it right? And that's how we should be when we're like going, how many times I grew up as an adult, I knew the Bible, I thought I did, and then somebody tell me, hey, did you know this was in there? No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy cow, there it is. I'm like going, well, how can that be? Knowledge, and it was my lack of knowledge, okay, that if I said, I don't care about any other stuff, it makes no difference to me, I don't need to know it, it's not a big deal. Okay, that's brutish. The correction to say, hey, here's what you need to know. Okay, verse 2. Go ahead, sweetheart. So, somebody else want to do it?
A good man obtaineth favor from Yahweh, but a man of wicked devices will he commend.
Condemn. That's exactly it. Esther, you want to read number 3 as well?
Okay,
sit
back.
Okay.
A son of earth shall not be
established
by
lawlessness.
But the root of the righteousness shall not be
disturbed. That's it. Okay, so that's one of the things I love about the Proverbs is it tells you, okay, we don't want the correction, but the correction has to come, and by virtue of the correction, it brings about the turning, and it brings about the knowledge that we can correct. And so all this here, as we look at it for Isaiah, we can apply it to our own lives. How do I need to do some changes for my life? Unto you, first Yahweh, having raised up his servant, have sent him forth, ready to bless you, when ye are turning away each one from your wickedness. Yahweh wants the cancer gone, so that we may flourish, and that we may prosper, and that we may do the things that he wants. This is what he wants for us. The evil steals from it and separates us from Yahweh. When we cast that out, which we have to do daily, when we cast that out, it allows Yahweh access back into us. When we shut that door, then the cancer grows. And the more the cancer grows, the more harmful it is to us to remove it. Number 4, okay? And number 4 of Isaiah there, back on page 659. Okay, when we get into this here, this is the last portion of this, and this is actually in chapter 10, okay? And this is verse 1 of chapter 10. Alas for them who ordain iniquitous decrees and busy writers who make business of writing mischief. Now think about that. And boy, if that does not describe our Congress and Supreme Court over the last couple hundred years, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Holy cow, ordain iniquitous decrees, okay, of injustice. And then they sell it as this is justice. This is justice. And then they call it social justice or whatever else. And yet it's right here. Iniquitous decrees. Writers of iniquitous decrees. And so you don't hear iniquitous very often, but the iniquity, everybody knows what that is. Writing those laws, they preyed on the weak. Okay? What will they do in the day of punishment? When they're feeding on the weak, and Yahweh's like going, this is horrible what's taking place with them. Who are you going to turn to when you become the weak? Okay? You're not leaning on me. You're not falling upon me. Two choices for bowing down, and this is what I love, and it even says this in here in the first 4 verses of chapter 10. Two choices for bowing down, okay? Person who says, I'm not going to bow down. You can take that choice, okay? You're not going to like the bowing down that you're going to do.
Huh.
Or you can take the bowing down and do it correctly.
Yeah.
First choice for bowing down is you repent and turn, which means you repent and you make amends and you change. And bow down in honor, worshiping Yahweh and accepting and receiving His blessings, okay? That's the first bowing down. That's what Yahweh wants. That's where He wants us to be. Second bowing down is... And in that day will be visitations. All right. And where you will have leave your glory without me, one hath bowed under a prisoner. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You will bow down to the new king and the prisoner. And it will be where your life is subdued and you have no freedom. It's all gone. It's all gone. One way or another, you're going to bow. You will bow. And so that Yahweh's telling them, you wanted to lean on yourself and take all the precepts of these other people and these prophets and these elders. And this is what it's done. It's led you all into ruins. Restoration, okay, and this is Isaiah 10:20-34, and I'm not going to read this all here, but this is where it comes down to. Now, I think about this, and I always put myself in, you know, I've even heard people speak recently, saying, you know, back in the biblical days, or back in the revolutionary days, everybody had muskets, and they all had guns, and we had cannons, and we could fight against our own government if needed be, okay, because we have this resources. And people now are like going, yeah, but they've got tanks, and they've got warships, and they've got weapons that we don't. You know, I've got a handgun, oh boy, you know, going against a tank. And I think to myself, you fools, what's changed? What's changed? You're leaning now upon your own understanding and not against Yahweh. Back in those days when they saw, you know, 80,000 people surrounding them with chariots, they're done. That's today's army and that's today's military surrounding them. How are we going to battle against these? We're a bunch of young people and old people and we don't have weapons to conduct war. And they're like, what are we going to do? It's the same thing. Are you kidding me that we can't lean onto Yahweh? And I think to myself, boy, if you had to go up against, you know, a huge military with just the small things that you had, it seems pretty hopeless. And it is. But Yahweh's like, everything is available. It's all there. And so when we look at this is to trust the Assyrians as their deliverer. And so the king's like, hey, make amends with these guys and they can protect us. And Yahweh's like going, do not do it. Don't do it. Okay, you do not want this. You don't want this affiliation. You lean on me, but the people wanted their wickedness and their idolatry. And so they wanted to have both. They could do that if the Assyrians now become their ally. And that's what they're doing. And that's what was happening here. And go ahead, honey.
It's like the war between the British and the French. I mean, not the British and the French, but the British and the colonists.
That's right.
The colonists were not very trained. But guess who won anyway?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they were overseen, I believe, by Yahweh and Christ to help them, because that was the best army that was out in the day. That was it. They were number one army. Yahweh promised that He would deliver them from Syria and Israel, and they did not have to trust in Assyria. Ahaz, king of Judah, did not take Yahweh's counsel and trusted in Assyria. And so you think about that. That's a big choice. Golly, if I'm wrong, you know, prophet tells me, don't do this. You trust in Yahweh. But if I'm wrong, and so I always try to put those into my perspective. This is a tough call. But for crying out loud, Yahweh's telling you, you're like going, can you look at the history of what's been done for His children? For crying out loud. Yes, He's going to do it again. Stand in faith. Stand in faith. Yahweh would use Assyria to defeat Syria and Israel as He had promised. Okay, for what would happen. He would also use Assyria to judge Judah. Right? In Isaiah 10:20, this is the only part of that I'll read, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and the escaped house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that smote them, but shall lean upon Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel in truth. Okay? And this is what He said, lean upon me. Do not lean upon them. Do not make allegiance. So it's the same thing. Well, if I make allegiance with this wicked group to get what I need, at least I gain something. I can walk away saying, and that's where I look at it, you know, with politicians, is to make deals where you're taking, it's like, how much poison can we put in the water? Okay, how much are you willing to allow? Well, we don't want any. You're going to have to put something in there. And how much are we going to allow? What's the point? And what's the tolerance? And that's what Yahweh's saying. Lean on me and leave the poison out. Leave it all out. Flip over to 1 Peter. To the right there on page 242. Right before 2 Peter. Actually, same page. Page 242, verses 6 through 10. Who hasn't read yet or hasn't read very much? Well, I will read. Verse 6 through 10. Be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift you up in due time, all your anxiety casting upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober and watchful. Your slanderous adversary as a roaring lion is walking about, seeking to devour and inflict you with the cancer. Okay? Whom resisteth steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings in your brotherhood that is in the world are being accomplished. Howbeit, the Elohim of all favor, who hath called you into his age-abiding glory in Christ, when for a little ye have suffered, himself will adjust, confirm, and strengthen. And this is it, is to hang tight, to hang tight. Sometimes it means that, hey, don't side with the Assyrians, but you're going to go to war against them. And you're like going, can we choose option B? Is there anything else? And Yahweh's like, no, you go to war with them. You're going to go to war with them, and I will be with you. And okay, let's do this, because what we're about to see is going to be remarkable. It's going to be something wonderful. Last one here. Flip over to Romans 15, page 163.
Pastor, I can read it.
You betcha. You want to read this one, honey? Okay, you're going to have to read it off one of the other Bibles there. Page 163. It's chapter 15, and it's verse 13. It's on the right side, down to the very bottom of the page. You get it?
Right. 163.
Down at the very bottom on the right. 13. Now
the God of the hope fill you with all joy, so
and
peace in believing, so that ye may supplies in the hope in the power of Holy Spirit.
And that's it. And so Yahweh wants us to be filled with joy. He wants us to be filled with hope. And he knows that the adversary sneaks around and infiltrates and overtakes and separates. And it can happen in an instant, and it can happen over a slow period of time. And so it does not matter. That adversary knows the weaknesses. It knows the way in. And that is sin that we have to deal with until the adversary is bound. And so we have to do that. And so this is where we do it. It comes to the point where, as we look at it, what do we have a physical for? Okay, we go and have a physical to get checked up, to make sure that things are fine, to make sure that that everything's taking place, and to correct it if not. That's what a physical for is. It's self-evaluation, and that's where Yahweh's telling all of us, a self-evaluation. Every day, every year, you should be going through this. Have I done these things? Have I made it to this point? Where am I standing in fellowship? Where am I standing in sin? What's still causing problems? And be able to deal with those things, and to be able to remove those, and repent and turn. And be able to still be able to do that, to repent and turn when this happens. That Yahweh knows that we're going to trip and we're going to fall, but to just pick ourselves back up and move on. Okay. That's it. So I'm going to close here. Hold on just a second, kiddos. I'm going to close, and we're going to have a word
for... Grace's birthday a couple days ago.
Who's?
Grace's
birthday.
Yay!
Okay. Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity again to come before you, to share your word, to hear your words, to understand the writings that, as you've written them down, that is each time that we read, even when we read over and over and over again, that newness, that new light just shines out within your word as a page turns and we see something that we didn't understand before, that we are, as children, continually learning and continually growing, that with the knowledge that we are in favor and seeking correction is seeking knowledge as well. So we thank you for that, Yahweh. That we're able to sharpen iron with each other, and knowing that that can be a discomfort, but as we do it, that the iron sharpens the iron, and that we are able to walk away with more knowledge and more correction and a closer walk with you, to be in great favor with you, Yahweh. We thank you for that. Thank you for the words that you give. All this through your Son's name, Christ Jesus. My children, call out to yourselves that you may be able to raise your hands up to me, that you may be able to fall down before me and prostrate yourself before me, that by doing these things that I call you to submit yourselves and submit yourselves to what my Son has provided and given to you, that through these things that I give a yoke, and it is not a heavy yoke or a burdensome yoke, But it is a yoke, and I call you to be submissive, to fall before me, that I may be able to grace you and be able to fulfill the things within you, that it is a great delight for me to be able to lift you and be in presence with you and to fulfill the things that you seek. Never put yourself before any of these things, that knowing that as you do, that if you elevate yourself and it becomes lofty, that these things will separate you from my love. And I see children that are dealing with some kind of an ailment right now. So I perceive something with a hand that is not working correctly. Something that is a defect or deterioration. And I call upon you that you may be able to see this and hear this and know that I tell you to do these things, that I'm calling for you to put your hand down, to stretch it up and to put it back down and to stretch it up. As you do this, be speaking to me, to be claiming by his stripes. By my son's stripes, I've made you whole. I've made you whole. Move your arm, move your hand, and strengthen it. That by doing this, that I call for you to be a witness to all the other children, that they saw, that they know that this was taking place, that a new hand, a new growth, a newness is spreading forth. As the old is being ripped off, as the gray is being taken down, that the brightness is coming back in, that the flow is coming back through. And from this here, I call you to stand in praise. Stand in praise, knowing that the faith will be there as you do the things that I call for you.